Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville churches will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Peace, peace, peace. Black power to the family. Is again, the time has brought us around to yet another episode of the Black Liberation Movement podcast. And tonight, dear family, we want to bring you the last part of our trilogy, How to Survive America. How to Survive America. But I added a bit to the title of this broadcast today, not only How to Survive America, but let's close the deal. So, family, as always, Wednesday night, we warn you to buckle your seatbelts. Tune everything out and let's focus tonight on what it is that we are presenting to our people. The time has come that we must respond to the conditions that have befallen us in this country. We must respond. If we're talking about the survival of ourselves, the survival of our children, if we're talking about the survival of our race, many of us have not reached the level of maturity to have this conversation. We still reacted, being reactionary to the circumstances and reality that we're dealing with, like little children, not understanding the reality that is present, clear and present. Tonight, we want to bring a clear, profound perspective of the reality that we face. So, without further ado, let's start this conversation, but we cannot start this conversation before we pay tribute to those who have come before us, who have bear witness to the reality of the situation that we find ourselves in. We are an extension of them, and we are nothing more than the sum total of everything that has come before us and all that have given their lives on the very account and call that your brother stands here today to deliver. All that has come before us, let us give tribute to them right now. We do that by stating these words. Thousand midnight. O ancestors, it is to you who we pay our respect and honor. O ancestors, we're asking you to come into our podcast and give us a clear perspective. Give us your wisdom. Give us your guidance. Give us the courage that you exemplify. But not only bring us to this point, give us the courage to take us past this point, this junction in our history, brother, ancestors. Oh, ancestors, we know you're extremely capable of doing just that, because it is you, oh, ancestors, who gave mathematics to the world. It is you, O ancestors, who gave science to the world. It is you, almighty ancestors, who gave philosophy, literature to the world. It is you, O African ancestors, who gave us God consciousness. Thank you, almighty ancestors. We solicit your power, and we know that you are here, and we want to honor you by our actions today. Thank you, almighty ancestors. We will not fail you. Almighty ancestors, we will not betray you. Ashe and Yebo. Thank you all. Let's get into this conversation. I want to make sure that the lines are clear and that people can hear me. The people handling the switchboard operation, give me thumbs up, let me know that I'm coming through clear and I'm being heard. Let me know. Let me know that the lines are open and we're ready to go to have this very robust and needed conversation. I'm waiting on that to come from somebody, letting me know that we are ready.
We're ready to go, Commander. We can hear you loud and clear.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you, Captain. Okay.
Yes, sir.
What are we going to do about our situation as a people? What are we going to do about our situation, our circumstances here in America? What is the response that we must move forward? What is the response to all of the social injustices that we have suffered even to this day? What is the response to all of the discriminated politics of oppression that we have suffered? What is the response to all of the miseducation that have become a machine-like operation that diametrically oppose our people? What is the response to the continued domestication of our people? That's where we at. What is the response? Not the reaction. No, not the reaction. That's just the emotional part of the response. But after you get past the reaction, the emotional part, the crying, the being sad, the depression, what do you do as a people? It is John Henry Clark that boldly pronounced, he said, that we haven't responded to one atrocity that had befell us of racism, white supremacy. We have not responded to one of them. Think about that. Think about that. What was our response to the transatlantic slave trade? What was our response to the systematic 250-year to 300-year process of slavery, chattel slavery? What was our response? Did we respond or did we react? What was our response to Jim Crow, which was the post-slavery system that was implemented by whites that diametrically opposed black people after chattel slavery? What was or is, because Jim Crow is still in full throttle operation. What is our response? Think about that. Think about that. Get your pencils and your notepad. Write your thoughts down. We want to have a conversation tonight with the people that's on and listening. One thing that we determined in having this podcast and this broadcast on Wednesday nights is that we will not have a monolithic podcast. We will have a very engaging podcast that will involve the black community. We want to hear from you. Do not be bashful or diffident in pressing 1, calling 563-999-3682, and engaging us in conversation. We are in this war together. What are we going to do? What is our response? I want to quote a few things before we get started to bring it to context. Really what it is that we're dealing with. I want to quote some things that some people wiser than me who have observed our situation gave very powerful explanation of our condition. I want to quote 2 people to help set the tone for this type of conversation. I want to quote first Dr. Carter G. Woodson, the author of the Negro. Let me quote Dr. Carter G. Woodson. He said, one of the primary problems with the American Negro, I don't really like the term Negro, but it's very relevant in his time. He said, one of the primary problems with the American Negro is that he has taken primarily his education, his political and religious instruction from his oppressor. He said that one of the primary problems with the American Negro is that he takes his primary instruction in education, in politics, and religion from his oppressor. I'm very familiar with the saying, if a person won't treat you right, why would they teach you right? if a person won't treat you right, why will they teach you right? I'm going to go on to one more, and we're going to move on to the podcast. Brother Shabaka Africa was quoted to say, a people will be marginalized, discriminated against, oppressed, and even killed until that people develop the moral character to stand up for their own humanity. Think about that. Let me read it one more time. He said that a people will be marginalized, discriminated against, oppressed, and even killed until that people develop the moral character to stand up for their own humanity. Came to a point where we have developed the moral character to stand up for our own humanity. Think about it in real time. Do we have one institution that teaches black people moral character? Do we have one institution that teaches black people moral character? What is moral character? Having the ability to stand up and pronounce your humanity. Standing up to the world and pronouncing your humanity. Now, have we pronounced our humanity? Have we pronounced our humanity? Let's see. How can your humanity be pronounced to the world if we are being killed with impunity in the streets of America today? And we're throwing ourselves on the mercy of our oppressor to see fit to come to our rescue. Have we pronounced our moral character while we sit up in churches every Sunday and pray for the very oppressor that has not exemplified any moral character in his continued onslaught of our people? Well, Brother Lumumba, we go to church and that expresses our morality right there. No. That don't express your morality. That expresses your religion. That does not express your morality. That expresses your religion. And to take it a bit further, it expresses your religious indoctrination. That's what that is. Going to church don't make you moral. I said, how do we develop the moral character to stand up for our own humanity? Meaning stopping people from killing our children. Stopping the mass incarceration of our people. Stopping the economic impoverishing of our people. Going to war with a society that has went to war with us a long time ago. These are the real conversations. This is the real conversation today. But what happened? Why do we never get to this conversation? Why do we never get to this conversation, the man-sized conversation? The conversation that causes us to look into the mirror of truth and deal with our situation. Why do we never get here? Because we have become diffident, unwilling to stand up to a white supremacist system that continues to destroy us. Diffident, domesticated, finding a way not to deal with the reality that has befallen us. Are we willing to birth into the world another generation of our children into a world that they will be oppressed and dealt with like domesticated cattle? Are we willing to do that? So, said all that just to say, how do we survive America? Let's close the deal on this tonight. What do you mean, Lumumba, by closing the deal? Well, this is what I mean. How do we survive America? We have plenty of scholars, intellectuals, high-articulated orators that can present all day long, every day, 24/7, the problems of America. We have no problems. No. I'm sorry. Not the problems of America, but the problems of our people. They can take all of our problems. That don't solve them by presenting the problem. It's good to do that. But we have made a narrative of intellectual masturbation of doing nothing more than presenting the problem. Nobody presenting solutions. Nobody is bringing solutions and are willing to create the models, the blueprint that our people can look at and see clearly what must be done. That's what I call closing the deal. So tonight we want to have a conversation about solutions. Let's have a conversation about solutions. We have a lot of revolutionaries. We need some solutionaries. Solutionary. Revolutionary has become nothing more than a term that identifies somebody with the struggle. I'm a revolutionary. What that mean? Revolution actually means to revolve, to evolve a situation from one point to another. We're not doing that. So we need some solutionaries, some people who are willing to present an answer. And not just present the answer, push forth for practical application of that answer. How do we do that? Our lines are open tonight. Call in 563-999-3682. That's 563-999-3682. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. We can talk about everything else. We can talk about our celebrities. We can talk about sports. We can talk about entertainment issues. All of that we can talk about. We can talk about COVID. We can talk about all these things. But who's going to talk about solutions to the black community perplexing problems? Who's going to talk about that? Do we have any callers? Do we have any callers? If not, let's push on. We want to talk about solutions. Well, this is what we'll do, Black Liberation Movement, based out of Mississippi, the belly of the beast. We have determined that we will provide solutions, clear model examples of what it is that we should be doing at this junction in our existence. We decided that we would call black men to order. We have decided that we will call black men to order. If you pronounce yourself in Mississippi organizational leader calling you to order, what do you mean, Brother Lumumba? We are planning. We haven't determined the date, but it will happen this year. We're calling. Okay, we got a caller. I want to entertain these callers if they come in. Don't want to have them on the line. No time. We got caller 2547. Caller 2547, go ahead.
What's going on, Brother Pat?
All right, all right. Who I'm speaking with?
Speaking with Dre Shook.
Brother Dre. Peace and power to you, brother.
On.
So glad to hear from you. Longtime member of the Black Liberation Movement. I love this brother. Go ahead, Brother Dre. Good to hear from you.
Now, man, just to kind of piggy off what you were saying as far as, like, a solution. And this is just my thought,
okay.
And I like to think out loud. I think that we should learn how to make money together.
Okay.
If we learn how to make money together as a form of syndication with our businesses, now we can direct our money because everybody has a hand in on the money. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
But we so individualized,
yes,
that, I mean, it's hard to get us to realize that we have the problem.
Yes,
I got the problem, I got the problem, I got the problem, I got the problem. No, we have the problem.
That's right.
So it's just,
that's right.
Everybody's out for self. It's hard to gain any unity, to gain any traction to do this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what's up.
I'm not going to say that some of us aren't syndicated. I think we just need to happen more often. We need to normalize. It's something that should be normalized.
Right. Okay. Yes, sir. See you loud and clear. Well, let me respond to you, Brother Drake, because you're exactly right. And that's a facet of the recovery process for our people. You talking about group economics. You said putting money together. Wouldn't we call that group economics?
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. So what has happened that we have not developed a mentality of group economics? And what I like to see, what I like to our listeners and people, in a historical analysis of our problem and the reason why we have not done what it is that you say. And not only that, I got a book sitting right in front of me. It's called Black Labor, White Wealth by Dr. Claude Anderson. A book that I've been studying for a long time that I always reference. There's a term in this book that's sitting right here, brother. It's called rugged individualism. You ever heard that term, brother?
I'm familiar with it.
Okay, good. Because that's what's keeping us from performing group economics. Rugged individualism. Coming out of something that's powerfully impacting its slavery, the fear, the inherited fear that white supremacy instilled into our people, not just black individuals, it instilled into the whole black race, to not come against the economic machine of America. So instead of performing a group act, we abandoned the group act. Because America is a group-based society. Would you agree with that, Brother Drake?
I agree with that.
So the only people not performing like a group is who?
That would be us.
It's us. We perform as rugged individualists, And you're exactly right, Brother Drake. And I'm not going to hold your own because we do have some more people, but we're going to continue to expound on what you just said because we got to close this deal. And we're going to lead this podcast with some determinants, some things that we are determined to do. And I want to hear from more people like yourself. And Brother Drake, let me say this, brother. We appreciate the economic commitment that you have made to the Black Liberation Movement. You have not failed us, Brother Drake, in your commitment that you made years ago. You pay your dollar a day, if not more. You do that. What we are. So let me tell you, Brother Drake, you are very important. And if we had 1 million black people like yourself, we can solve this thing. We can solve this thing, brother. So I appreciate you, Brother Drake. If you have any more to say, go right ahead, brother.
Nah, man, I appreciate you, man. Go ahead. Go ahead. I don't know, man.
Yes, sir. Continue to tune in, brother. If you have anything else you want to add to the program, call us back, brother.
I got you, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. Love you, brother. Appreciate
you. Yeah, you too, bro.
All right. All right. We got another caller on the line. Caller 0363. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Pat?
All right, all right, all right. Who is this?
This is Eric Lyle.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to be sure. Brother Eric Lyle. Brother.
Oh, yeah, man.
I've been listening in,
and, you know, obviously you're on point with everything as usual with what you're saying. I've been having some of the same thoughts, man. I don't know if you're familiar with Sarnetta, but he a YouTuber, and like back when I first just started, I guess, waking up, that was one of the people that I used to listen in to and try to get some information and knowledge. And, you know, over the past couple of years, I just been realizing that it's been a lot of what you've been talking about, you know, just getting up there aggrandizing and trying to show off with words and show off knowledge instead of coming with some type of solution, talking about all type of divisive shit, excuse my language, that,
right.
You know, really ain't going to solve none of the problems we got today. You know, and so it'd be a frustration to me, too, and I feel your pain in reference to that.
Yes, sir.
As far as solutions, man, I mean, just like with anything else, I think it starts just with a personal commitment to bettering yourself, first of all, and just trying to break away from this beef, man. You know, I think, you know, you're talking about rugged individualism, and I think that that's really a consequence of capitalism, you know, and it's kind of a tricky bag because, you know, like when we talk about group economics, like you said, Dr. Claude Anderson's book, you know, Black Labor, White Wealth. So it's like, yeah, we could pool money together, but where that money coming from? You know, we ain't built no economic machine ourselves to generate that money, and we kind of still funding our own demise at the same time. You know, so it's kind of a tricky, a slippery slope, you know, when it comes to group economics. And I think a lot of people end up getting turned out, if you will, by the whole glitz and glam of the capitalist American dream, you know, that we got going on. And that's just a major divisive point. Like, I got a partner, man, here in Memphis. He be rapping and stuff. And I saw a video that he posted the other day, him and some of his young guys, and they was, you know, up there with the guns and all of that. And so I was just like, man, you know, I used to work with him, so we used to have deep conversations and whatnot. And I was just like, P, like, how can you be promoting that, but at the same time, you'll turn around when somebody get killed and be like, man, the street's too high. We need to stop all of this killing. And so he was like, man, you know, it's a money play, P, you know, all that type of stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I understand you're trying to get your money, but at what cost? And so I showed it to my wife, and I was like, watch in a few days, he going to post something about Memphis being too hot or something like that. And sure enough, within 3 or 4 days, he made that post. He was somewhere and a shootout broke out And he was just like, damn, man, this kid's out here and everything. Like, when is it going to stop? And I just had to make a point to him, like, this is exactly what we were talking about the other day. So, you know, it takes, like I said, a personal commitment to just be real and understand that everything we do, everything we say got a consequence. And so we just got to be careful when we're moving out here, especially when you're a person that got somewhat of an influence and a lot of people's ear. You know, you got to be careful with what you're showing them and what you're teaching them, you know, by way of your actions. Even though you're looking at it like a money play, these young kids, they seeing you and they want to be like you, and they following it.
Right.
You know, just on a minor level, that's just one aspect that I can see as far as a solution. But other than that, man, just the Black Liberation Movement, you know. Like I said, I'm definitely going to get more involved with that economically and any other way that you see fit that you can use me. And I put my faith in the movement, man. You know, I believe in what you got going. I believe in, you know, the people that work with you. And I definitely want to be a part of that. And I believe that as long as it's brothers and sisters like us that think like how we think and ain't scared.
Yes, sir.
We can make it happen, man. So I just want to help you build what you're doing. And that's the solution right there for me.
Yes, sir. Well, you know what, Brother Lyle? I'm going to let you hang up so that you can listen because we have some more callers. But I want to respond to you because you're a brother that I have great and profound respect for. So go ahead on, brother, and hang up. And I'm going to respond to some of the things that you're saying. I jotted a few things down. And we're going to move on to the next call. I love you, brother.
Yep. I love you too, man. Appreciate it.
Let's go back. Because I remember when I first met Brother Eric Lyle, and he caught whiff of the Black Liberation Movement. And he became an integral part of the Black Liberation Movement. But I remember having conversations with Brother Lyle about the brother that he brought up when he first called in, Brother Sarnetta, and what these brothers were doing in New York, in the Harlem area. They were presenting all these debate formats and settings and setting up events for debate of different schools of thought and creating really a distraction of knowledge masturbation. That was good for a time in enlightening people to certain levels of knowledge that Black people have not been privy to prior to social media. So in a way, it served as a good thing, but it became something that really was a false sense of progress. Yet, knowledge is not power. It's a part of power. The application of knowledge is where real power is obtained. I told somebody the other day, I said, you put me in a jail cell, and you put me in there for 10 years, and you throw 1,000 books into my cell. Well, in a year's time, I could have been read all 1,000 of those books. But guess what? Because I'm powerless, I'm just a wise man locked in somebody's cell. That means I got knowledge, but I don't even have the power to free myself. Hope y'all understand what I'm saying. Knowledge in and of itself is not power. That's a misnomer. Knowledge applied is power. That's why white people steal other people's knowledge. That's why I tell Black people all the time, don't matter how much knowledge you have, how much intelligence you have. If you don't have the will, the determination, and the courage to apply the knowledge to your benefit, you will be powerless. And, Brother Eric Lyle, I appreciate you because those brothers at that time irritated me. Because although they developed large social platforms, great followers, how many grocery stores did they build? How many schools and institutions for our young children to be safe and receiving proper education did they build? How much farmland did they obtain for the proper nourishment of our people?
How many? I'm talking about all of them, from Suraset to Polite, all of these knowledge pontificators, knowledge masturbators. Where they at now? Where they at now? Are we still core hopping, knowledge jumping? We still doing that? Are we going to attach ourselves to something real, man? Something real. Sitting here in a business that I have operated in one facet or another for 20 years. For 20 years. I have not lied to one customer. I have not paid an employee. I go home broke before I won't pay an employee. I have served my community. This is the work. The real revolutionary solutionaries, they ain't the ones that y'all jumping on the bandwagon of. They the ones that's grinding it out. We grinding it out. We maintain our position. We will practically apply the knowledge. So why don't we get the help in building the Ashay Academy? Why don't we get the help? Okay, but let me move on because we have a call on the line and I don't want to hold the callers too long. Caller 0490, are you still there?
Black power, black love. Yes, I am, brother.
Black power, and black love. This is Sister who?
KG. K Gandy.
Oh, K. How you doing, K Gandy?
All right, how are you?
I'm well.
Right, I came in Black power, black love. I came in a little late on the conversation, so I'm just here to give you right now the support. And listen to some of your, the conversation that is going on. So next time I'll be more informed and more in tune to drive a little. What I'm trying to say, to get involved more in the conversation. So I'm going to let you get to the next call. I'm just going to sit here and listen, Black Power, Black Love.
Well, you sit there and you listen and you absorb and observe. And this is, let me just announce who you are. This is Sister Kay Gandy of the New Black Panther Party. They are developing chapters all over Mississippi. So she ain't just somebody to call in and listen. She's somebody who has committed herself to a functionality amongst our people. And I'm glad that you're on, Sister, because I'm going to make an announcement on your organization to be held accountable for some things moving forward. Thank you, Sister Kay, for calling in. Peace and love and Black Power.
Peace and love and Black Power in that southern region, New Black Panther Party.
Yeah, the southern region, no doubt. Already. Thank you, sister. Yay, both.
Okay.
Okay. So, what we planning to do here in Mississippi, we planning an event because we had to have a response, people. We had a serious conversation the Cultural Center in Coldwater, Mississippi, Sunday, about proper response from killing our children. How do we stop the social injustices that we face on a daily basis? We can't pray these things away. White supremacy is a machine, and this is its modus operandi. That means this is how it works. So killing of black people is not a problem in a white supremacist system. Y'all not understand that? Black people being miseducated is not a problem in a white supremacist system. Black people being wrongfully incarcerated is not a problem in a white supremacist system. Y'all keep saying, the system messed up. No, the system ain't messed up. The system is operating exactly how it's supposed to operate. What you and I need to do is create a system. What you and I need to do is create a system that works ain't messed up. It ain't no mistake that you go to jail at alarming rates. It ain't no mistake that we get killed in the street and nobody suffers consequences. That's not a mistake. What planet you living on? That's a system. Pray that away. Capitalism is one of the handmaidens of white supremacy. The other one is Christianity. But let's just build Judeo-Christianity, I should say. But let's just deal with the capitalism part of it. Capitalism worked for white people. You got other systems of operation around the world, communism, socialism, and all other kind of isms. But capitalism is what works for white people. You want to know why? Because capitalism suggests that a minority can control everything. A genetically deficient minority control everything. We thought it was a real messed up thought that one man could own 100 acres of land. Imagine Africans coming into that reality. Well, one man owned 100 acres of land and he owned 100 Africans. See, that's not our custom. That's not how we see things. So we were forced into a reality of capitalism, which empowers white people, take black people on a roller coaster ride, keeping us at the bottom. Because capitalism had to have a top rail and a bottom rail. And the top rail is sustained by the bottom rail. In this book, Black Labor, White Wealth, I don't know why I picked it up before the podcast, but I did. Paul Anderson said that your purpose in America, in the white supremacist system, is to be the permanent underclass. Think about that. So I don't care how much you pray. If you don't do something to get yourself out of the mindset of white supremacy, which suggests you are a black man and woman and child, the permanent underclass in this society, no legislation will be pushed to change that. Y'all don't understand that, do you? Oh, we just got Kamala Harris as the vice president of the United States of America. I said no legislation changed that. Kamala Harris is not there to solve black people's problems. She's there to make the appearance that we're making progress. Kamala Harris don't have one black agenda in her politics. Kamala Harris is inconsequential to a progressive end for you. Kamala Harris has nothing to say on behalf of black people. Hope y'all hear me. We have to create our politicians for real. We have to birth them into the knowledge of black power. Because black power, power being the ability to change your own reality. That's what real power is. Notice I didn't say empowerment. Because that's when somebody gives you a measure of power. I got $1,000, you broke. You come to me, I give you 100. You feel great. Well, I empowered you. But what have you done? What skill set do you have that you can create that measure of economic sustainability yourself? See, we're waiting on these coons and good white people. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. The black man has to help himself. My Martin Luther King came to a reality, and he suggested that there is no Lincolnian document that's going to do this for us. What did Martin Luther King mean by that? He said there is no Lincolnian document. What is Lincolnian? Well, that's a reference to Abraham Lincoln. We feel like he freed the slaves. That's what they taught us in school, okay? Made us think white people had a fucking degree of morality. Abraham Lincoln ain't did nothing to benefit black people. He did something to benefit the people who put him there. Okay, you look into that political interest and swallowing these lies whole. We swallow lies whole. But that's the reference to Lincolnian when you say Lincoln. And when Martin Luther King said, it ain't no Lincolnian document, meaning some benevolent legislation being pushed by good white people going to save us. You see? It's not. He said what's going to happen is that the black man, and that's woman too, so let's not have the little bitty arguments. I'm just quoting Dr. King. He said that the black man has to reach down into his own self and resurrect a measure of manhood. Okay? So that's what we want to do. So we're making the call. And what we're going to have this year, we were stricken down when the spirit of my ancestors moved me after leaving Savior's Day, when we was invited to be a part of Savior's Day by the Nation of Islam, the Black Liberation Movement, was invited because we had made a loud enough noise here in Mississippi that we were determined. The Nation of Islam invited us, and when we made it back, I had a determined idea to bring black organizational leaders together in Mississippi to call us to accountability. Organizational leader. Who are you talking about, Brother Lamont? We got some more calls. I'm going to get right to you. Hold on, call. Well, I'm talking about the street organization. The Crips, the Bloods, whatever you want to call them. In the South, we got the GDs and the Vice Lords, the Stones. Okay? These are not gangs to me. These are organized functions. We have the Black Panther Party. We have the Republic of New Africa. We have all these goddamn gun clubs. We have all these gun clubs. We have the Republic of New Africa. We have the Black Liberation Movement. But what do we do? What do we do? So Lumumba was inspired. That's me. Call our black leaders to accountability. What do you mean, Lamoon? We're going to be in one place looking each other in the face. And we're going to say to each other, what is it that you're supposed to do? Not talk about. What are you supposed to do in response to our condition? And we're going to hold you to that. When we leave here, we're going to hold you to that. We're going to have a system of networking. All these Black Panther Party chapters that's popping up, you better know your responsibility historically. They just showing up at events, holding signs up. You had a responsibility to the black community because it was something deficient in the black community that you saw fit to organize and call yourself the Black Panther Party for a reason. We're going to reconnect with that reason. With that reason. It wasn't just the Black Panther Party. Watch this. It was the Black Panther Party for self-defense. And I'm not just jumping on the Black Panther Party. I'm telling you what it is. It was the Black Panther Party for self-defense. Don't leave that off. Because when you leave that off, you relieve yourself of a duty that you have historically put yourself in the position to serve the black community. That means when these goddamn cops, these killers, kill our children, we need somebody to respond to that. Nobody trying to scare nobody, but we're going to be real. So we calling together. the street gang that decided now that we'll just kill each other. No, little old nigga. No, because that's what the world has turned us into, some little nigga. Toxic byproduct of waste, what white supremacy had created. That's not us. You just turned into some little nigga wearing these glorious names like gangster, disciple. That's a glorious name to me. What is a disciple? What is a vice lord? Ain't no motherfucker walking around the street with his pants hanging off his ass. Vice lord is respectable, vicegerent of God. That means you God on earth. Just like Kamala Harris supposed to be the vice president, you a vice lord? All you do is smoke blunts and walk around with your motherfucking pants hanging off your ass? That's not what it's going to be. That's not what it's going to be. The righteous will see to that. If there's some righteous men on this phone, call in and proclaim yourself. Make it known. Stand up. Stop being a goddamn coward. Stand up. Call in. We got a call on the line. Call us 0452. Go ahead. Call us 0452. Go ahead.
What's up, my brother? This is Joe Mayor Campbell. How you doing?
Yes, sir. You say this is who?
Joe Mayor Campbell from Holly Springs, man. I'm living in Dallas now, so.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
but brother,
sir.
I'm not familiar with you, but you sound like a brother that I want to hear. So go ahead.
Yeah, you may have done some work with my cousin. I don't know if you have, but Kevin Gary, everybody calls him Prophet. I know he's
Prophet. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm very familiar with Brother Prophet. We went to school together, too.
That's my cousin, man. So, but yeah, so but I kind of wanted to come back on something you were saying, like about, you know, knowledge and knowledge applied. You know, like for me, when you think about knowledge, you can't apply knowledge if you don't acquire knowledge. You know what I mean? So the first thing that happens in making something come into fruition is you put it into the mind, and the mind shows you what the possibilities are. Because we are the creator. So when you go inside of us, we can create just like the creator, just on a small level. So when we look at the mind, that's the thing that projects. And then with the projection is made, the energy of the God is that which is used to bring about that which the mind has constructed. You know, but when I look at our people in Holly Springs, when I look at our people in Holly Springs, I think one of the biggest issues is that we fight when we feel threatened. So, you see, we fight when we feel threatened, and I think seeing our people die is something that's normalized. We see death on television. It's in all our games. You know what I mean? So I just think, like, it's a normal thing for us to see death. And, like, you know, we passing around videos of our people being murdered by the cops, you know, and but we see the cops standing with each other. You know what I mean? So I think that, you know, if somebody beats up a gangster sister, I think that man would be within days, he would be, you know, his life would be in danger. You know, but if a cop comes around and shoot up our whole neighborhood, you know, we feel like, you know, they are out of reach. You know what I'm saying? So and another thing that we may not know is that 90% of the cops are Masons or Freemasons. So one thing that a Freemason is going to do is stick with the Brotherhood. So you get what I'm saying, and they're going to continue to put the secrecy upon us. So you're not going to know that this is amazing. He's not standing for the law. He's standing for the Brotherhood. So that's that's one of the things, the Freemasons. So that's one of the things that we gotta know. And then once we get the knowledge, I believe having the knowledge and having the power is like step one into step two. There's no way you can get the power without the knowledge, and you can't have the power. You can't have the power without applying the knowledge. So it's like, you can't get to the second grade without going through the first grade. You know what I mean? And right now, a lot of us are coming into our uniqueness, and that's the key thing I want to say. A lot of us are coming into our uniqueness because everybody is different, and everybody got a different way of evaluating what they see. You know what I mean? So some people are going to say, man, I want to affect the law. Some people are going to say, man, I want to be on the police force and I want to fight back. Some people are going to say, man, I want to be able to write a book. But the person that writes a book, cannot knock the person that want to fight, saying, "Hey, you stupid because you could die," because we all are needed. You get what I'm saying? There are cells in your body that will destroy themselves to destroy the virus or destroy whatever it is that come into you. We got to have those men in the body. We got to have those women in the body. We got to have those major thinkers. You know what I'm saying? But and like what you were saying with the Sarnetta, I called Sarnetta Television. And I told him, I said, you know, one of the things that I see in our people is that it's hard for us to stand united when we just got done arguing about some shit that don't even matter. You get what I'm saying? It's hard for me to say, bro, I got your back when I feel like you owe me $100. You know what I'm saying? So it's just we got too many little small issues that prevent us from seeing the unity in the big issue. And if you think about the religion, if we understand how the religions come together, we know that this Jesus shit didn't just fall in place like that. We know that they came together in these councils, council after council, Council of Nicaea, Council of Constantinople. They're constantly counseling to come together. Get what I'm saying? And there was probably plenty of arguments and disagreements, but one thing that they agreed on is that they wanted to rule over us. They wanted to have a way to put us at the bottom. And this is the last thing I want to say. When we watch what's going on, we had an opportunity in the past 3 or 4 months to destroy the system that was oppressing us the most. You see, a lot of us see that, you know, this pandemic going on is something that they focus hard on. So one thing that I see is that when this vaccination started to come about, the biggest thing was, hey, everybody needs to get vaccinated so the world can kind of go, so the United States can kind of go back to working the way it was. If we would have said, no, we ain't getting vaccinated, just the melanated people said, we ain't getting vaccinated. We're going to stand over here and we're going to do our own thing. And if you don't want us to be in your system, we won't be. The system can't work without us. The system can't work without us. We are the people of the sun. We have the same energy and the light spectrum that comes from the sun. The same light spectrum is the same thing that's powering this white man's matrix. The microwave is gamma rays that come from the sun. You see what I'm saying? A dollar is a tree carbon that is made by the elements of the sun. We are the energy that produces entities to be able to grow. Can't no entity grow without the energy within the men that produced it. You see what I'm saying? You can't have your company wouldn't work without you and the men or women working it. So, you know what I mean? We got to understand that this system, this oppressive system, needs energy of a human or a people that's bought into the mind state to keep oppressing our people. You know what I mean? And you 100% right when it comes to Abraham Lincoln, because as soon as they abolished slavery, they brought jail. You see, as soon as slavery was abolished, now here comes jail. And now you got the 14th Amendment where slavery can still be put into place as long as you are a criminal, but you don't have a definitive title of what a criminal is. So we really don't know when we can be put into slavery. You see what I mean? So I 100% agree, man. It's like it's so many angles. And if you look at the directions, we got to be coming from all directions. The reason why the 60s and the 70s were especially the 60s was such an impactful time for us is because we were coming from all directions. The freedom fighters, the sit-in people, the Malcolm X, Dr. King. You see what I mean? It was so many angles that America had melanated people thinking about melanated people. But now we so bought into the system that when we saw the system leaning on one leg, about to fall, police about to go down, you see what I'm saying, talking about defunding the police, we couldn't think about America without police. You see what I mean? We celebrating the people that's going to oppress us the most coming in. You see, we out in the street, you about to lose your job when really we are. You see what I'm saying? It takes the knowledge, though, that puts the energy in you to say, damn, I want to change. Usually a woman don't get out of an abusive relationship because she's made up her mind to say, I'm fucking through. You see what I mean? It takes the mentality to bring about the fruition, and the fruition can only be brought with the energy. So no matter if you think you can, you got to do it first. So you're right. We got to have doers. But we also got to have the thinkers, man, because if a person that's a doer is not a great thinker, then what are they going to do? So we need all our people, man, and all our uniqueness makes us different, but it makes us unified. You see what I mean? And the last thing I'm going to say is once black or melanin is at the highest of your mind, see, right now, if this religious thing has us having this Jesus character and God at the top of our pentacle or at the top of our pyramid, and when that thing at the top of your pyramid will rule over you. So if you got God ruling over you, and then your God looks like Jesus, and Jesus looks like your oppressor, then you're going to be always at the mercy of your oppressor. And then once we get a little wisdom, we put Jesus as a black man, but it's still the oppressor's trick to get us about into some type of mental slavery. So once we put melanin people, our mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers, at the top of our pyramid, nothing else will matter. Everything else that falls under won't come up to us like you know what I mean? Like Wayne said, I'm like a running back. I'm a linebacker. Don't run it by me. Some stuff don't even come up until, you know, when you're at a certain level, some stuff can't even make you mad because you're so well past it. You're so well past it. You know, so and one more thing I'm going to say, my brother. When we look at life, man, there are levels to this. There's levels to a basketball. There's levels to intelligence. There's levels to everything. So when we look at our people, we just got to know that if the levels go from 1 to 10, we got people on all levels. And we can't get mad that a person on level 3 have ambitions to be number 5, but they haven't done what it takes to be on level 5. So we got to protect the people on level 3 because at some point the person on level 4 might be like, hey, I want to move back down to 3 based on what they know. Or the person that's on number 4 be like, hey, I want to move up. And that's a symbiotic relationship between those two. Once that person at 4 moves down, 3 are easy to move up. So it takes unison, even though they don't even look alike. You see what I mean? So we got so much talent and so much potential, man, and so much to fight for. So much to live for, and so much to give your life for. So I'm with the liberation movement, man. I'm like, you know, the biggest thing for us is that we do it, you know, and it's going to take learning, man. It's going to take learning because the white man know what will destroy us. The white man know what we would eat that would make us sick. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you think about all these diseases and smallpox and stuff, those things were here to cure him. Because we didn't have those things. So now when we, you know, we fighting to make sure that we got the same thing that he needs when we are completely different. So knowledge is the first key. Because if you don't know what you need to eat, what the hell you going to eat? And then once you know what to eat, the second thing is you got to then provide yourself with those means or bring that food or bring that thing which you need to eat to you. It's not just knowing. So it's a whole level to us. And this is the last thing, my brother, but when you are on level 10, let's say that's the highest level, and that's the God consciousness, you're going to receive knowledge or information from your own self that is on level 10. So there are people that's on level 1 that can't even fathom level 5 because it's a realm of consciousness. And then you open up to all of the knowledge that's on level 5 once you're on that level. So, you know, we get thoughts. Without even knowing that these are thoughts coming from other things. If you think about a radio station, you in Holly Springs, I hope, if you're in Holly Springs or the people in Holly Springs listening, you turn on K97 on your radio station. Well, when you turn on K97, what is 101.1 doing? Well, they still broadcasting. Their songs and messages are invisibly traveling through you and right in front of you. But you can't hear it until you tune in. That's the levels that we own. So once your mind is on level K97 and then K97 is level 5, then you're only going to receive what that station has to play. You see, so it's only until you gain more knowledge till you even want to go to level 7 or level 6. So I just think that we got to go ahead and gain the knowledge, find out what happened, what our people did, who we really were. When you know thyself, all the mysteries will be known unto you. When you know thyself, you know what I'm saying? So I think that knowing what we are will make us understand what we are to do. The biggest key is, you know, and we God. We are God having an experience. But my son and my brother, everybody know Prime Time, and everybody know me, Prime Time and Showtime, athletes. But the difference between my brother and me is he came from the same mother with the same father. He is the same energy that I am. Same exact energy, just having a different experience and was and expressed different levels of godhood, and then had to watch the result of what that brought, and that built a character, and that character is who he say I am. You see what I'm saying? But we are God. The thing that limits you the most is when you say I am. When you have no, like, you know, if you go and visit our ancient comedic knowledge, all our deities had 3 levels, positive, a negative, and a neutral. Why? Because we are all things. You can, right now, you can go outside and burn a building down and somebody will see the devil. Or you can continue to do what you're doing and somebody will see God. But they can see him in one person because you hold both keys. But you also hold the key that says, I don't have to choose. You see, if I'm saying LeBron or Jordan, and I say I'm neutral, well, a lot of times people get mad at me because I didn't choose. But without choosing, you're not polarized to one side or the other. So you're not affected. You're in the middle. You got both. You know what I'm saying? So that's what my yacht is, that we're balanced. So we can't be too much of fighters to where we're ready to destroy everything, and we can't be too much of just thinkers to where we're not willing to fight for nothing. You know, it takes balance, and that's really what the main thing I want to say, man. It takes balance. It takes 5 and 5 to make 10, but the 5 and 5 don't have to be the exact same thing. It don't have to come from the same exact areas. When we look at what makes it about
okay,
knowledge,
brother.
Hey, brother. Yes, sir.
Okay, you said 3 times that this would be your last thing, and I'm not discounting anything that you said. You got a wealth of knowledge. But what we had today, and I think you took issue, not an issue, but a little issue, and you based your conversation around, we do need the knowledge. I'm not saying that we don't need knowledge. Most definitely we need knowledge. Knowledge was what the primary thing that we were cut off from. Okay, so but once we ascertain knowledge, because we can't say today, in this day and time, that we as a people do not have knowledge. We got knowledge. You know how many brothers I've heard disseminate knowledge like what you just did for the last 10 minutes? You know how many brothers I've heard do that in the last 20 years that I've been on this journey? You sound like somebody that's still developing and learning, and we all are. But you think it's very necessary that you let these people know, and you took your window of opportunity right here on this podcast, and you continue to disseminate knowledge. This is my point. We're not lacking knowledge. You know, one of the primary questions I want to ask you is, what do you do? Primarily, what do you do? I'm asking you right now. What do you do? Do you work?
Right. So, yes, I work. I actually have 3 businesses. I'll for myself.
Okay.
I got the knowledge and the power, and I'm God, and
okay,
I employ
so wait a minute,
our
stop
people.
Right there. I asked you a question. There you go again.
I got you.
There you go again. I asked you one question. I said, do you work? Because you had told me that you work and it was not for yourself, then you would be held accountable for that because you took 10 minutes of my time and you talked about knowledge that needs to be applied. So you would be, if you had told me that you work, you would have been a knowledge pontificator to me because you had not applied the knowledge that you say you got. But you say you have 3 business. That's
so
where
what
our
now?
People need to be. Listen,
so
brother.
Right, I'm
listen.
One of them.
Listen,
I'm
listen.
One of
listen, listen, brother. I listened to you for 10 minutes. I listened to you for 10 minutes. I want you to hear me. This is what I'm saying. You mentioned that we are individuals. We are all the individuals, but this is the thing that Francis Chris Wilson has taught us and needed fully. They say there's 9 areas of balance that we have to deal with in this society. And these things, the education, the economics, the politics, the labor, the law, the war, the sex, the religion, all of these are areas of balance that synchronize to create a functionality of civilization. So, yeah, you're right. We are all different. But we are not all different. We have different talents, different things that we are able to conjure up as individuals, but at the same time, we are one people that have to function as a unit, just like your heart, your lungs, your stomach, your pancreas, your brain. All of that functions inside of one body. So I hear you, but this is what I'm saying. I have heard brothers disseminate knowledge for so long, brother. And while I don't give a fuck about Sarnetta and all them motherfuckers, I don't give a fuck about them. I didn't talk to them too. You have not provided one function people can hang their hat on. You don't have one motherfucking acre of land. Not one. You ain't got one goddamn grocery store. I'm talking Sarnetta. Okay? So what I'm saying now is the time for brothers like yourself and brothers like me. See, that knowledge you're talking about, Why we ain't got no institution? You got Rush College over there in Holly Springs. I'm in San Antonio in Coldwater. A hop, skip, and a jump. I throw a rock over there. Okay? But what I'm saying, we don't have one institution that's teaching on a daily basis what you just got you talking about. Facebook and social media have been our platform. That's why you have to rush and get all this shit in, because we don't have nowhere where you have a classroom. That's where I'm at right now. I'm at where is the building. You mentioned, you said, we got architects. That's what you're saying, the thinkers. But where are the builders? See, buildings take courage. You can sit around and think all the fuck you want. And I'm not shooting at you, brother. I'm using it as an opportunity to show our people what the fuck we talking about. Okay? So knowledge alone is not power. It's an introduction to it, but it takes a will and courage to make that knowledge applied. Where we can say, yeah, we are sovereign, free. No, we not. We got degrees and shit hanging all over the wall. And they can't make one damn determination of our own as a people. So that's where we at, brother. I feel you, and I thank you for calling in. And leave your number with somebody. I want to talk to you. You said you're from Holly Springs, but you're in Dallas now. We want people to come back to Mississippi. That's what we want. Thank you for calling in, brother. Anybody else on the line? Can you there? Brother Captain.
Yes,
are
sir.
You
I'm
there?
Here. We got a caller, 7532.
Okay. Tell the caller, go ahead.
Caller 7532, your mic is live.
Oh, Black Power, Black Love, how y'all doing?
Black Power and Black Love, we well. Who is this we talking with?
This is Brother Gerald Justice from the Southern Region of New Black Panther Party. Chief of Staff.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Sir, Chief of Staff, thank you for being on your post, sir. We haven't met,
oh, no problem.
But I'm sure we'll be meeting.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just calling in. I didn't. I'm just kind of late. One of my comrades had kind of let me know that maybe I should call in. That's the only reason. Again, I'm just catching in, so I apologize.
Okay, well then, just hang tight on the phone. But I would like to ask you, who was that brother comrade that said you may should call in?
It was one of my female comrades, a sister out of Sharpsville, Sister Kay Gandy, comrade Kay Gandy.
Yes, Sister Kay Gandy. I'm very familiar with her. She has visited us and been amongst us in 2 hours coming. Very familiar with the sister.
Okay.
So yes, sir. We'll be meeting and just hang on. We got a few more minutes of this right here, so hang on because we about to announce a summit that we about to have and put together that will require y'all participation as the Southern Region members of the Black Panther Party. Y'all doing a great job building these chapters all over the great state of Mississippi. And we want to be able to reach out to you and call on you. So thank you, brother, for calling in, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure. Black power, black love, black unity.
Black power, black love, and black unity, brother. Appreciate you calling in. All right, so what it is that we need to announce is that we will be having the Black Man Accountability Organize or Die Summit. Let's say that again. We're about to put together in Mississippi the Black Man Accountability Organize or Die Summit. Damn, Brother Lumumba, that mighty bold. We need to do some bold shit. We need to do some bold shit. See, when white people decided that they were going to domesticate the people that were to be subjected to them, they did some bold stuff. And we act like the things that they did, we forget about that? Did we forget about what they did to establish this this land, they did some things. I don't think white people the wisest people on earth. I don't think white supremacy is a wise system at all. I think it's a bold window. I think it's a very bold system. Anytime you can oppress people and them same people respect you, you did some bold stuff. Anytime you can kill people and they pray for you, after you kill their children, you have done some bold stuff. Black men gonna have to do some bold stuff. See? Black men gonna have to do some bold stuff. Like, look each other in the face and say, what we gonna do? See, I had to look at my little daughter that I just had 1 year in 4 months on the 13th of this month ago. It means she'll be 16 months old. And I have to look at the reality of her life not being valued in this society. I have to think about the reality of her life being snuffed out, or her not having the opportunity for happiness. And as a man that had been a father to all of his children, all of them, I recognize that it's something that I must do. And it's not about me. Brother Dre Ship, if you still on, Brother Eric Loud, if you still on, it's something that we must do to pronounce ourselves to the world that we are human beings of integrity, and we will not tolerate. Yeah, we got problems within the black community. We're going to deal with that. Why you think we calling this summit? So we can deal with each other as men. You think if I call the gangster disciples in Mississippi, if I call the vice lords in Mississippi, if I call the stones in Mississippi, and now we ain't gonna stop there. We gonna call these fraternal organizations. We call it the Omega, the Kappas, the Alphas. We calling you too. You malfunctioning too. What are you doing for the black nation? What are you doing to stop the bleeding? What are you doing besides hopping around barking like fucking dogs? What you doing? So we got to look each other in the eye because it's time to close the deal. And we got to make some bold pronunciations. When my daughter see me, she see the greatest protector of her life. My children see me, they see a provider. And I'm not cowed down responsibility. And if you're a man and you own this land, you need to put a note on attending this Sunday. If you call yourself in an organization, leading an organization, just being a part of an organization, you need to make sure that you're in attendance at this Sunday. This is not a call of me. This is a call of our ancestors in response to what's going on with our people today. Who going to stand up? What y'all waiting on God to come out the sky? And what we waiting on? Are we waiting on some benevolent white politician? The minute that they declared Derek Chauvin guilty on all charges, they were killing our children in the streets at the same fucking time. Ain't no fucking progress there. You better be glad the black young lady caught it on camera. And that don't really mean shit. But it was so blatant. It was so obvious. And Derek Chauvin had such an audacity about himself. So not even the white man could meander around this motherfucking situation. I listen to white people. during the whole Derek Chauvin trial. And the evil went up all the way from Derek Chauvin himself to the white people who came across your airway on CNN, MSNBC. They still were protectors of their race. Tell that they still wanted reprieve and forgiveness for Derek Chauvin. You can tell that they weren't willing to exercise the full extent of power on Derek Chauvin. You can tell that. I've seen it clearly. White people don't punish white people. What planet y'all living on? So we have decided, and to that brother that just called with the great knowledge lessons that he did for 10 minutes, I heard him. I've been hearing stuff like that for 20 years. I done heard every school of thought from the Baptist church to the ninth planet in the 18th galaxy. I done heard it all. But what have we done? We ain't built one institution that got a name that suggests we liberated here. Black Liberation University. Yeah, we got Russ College. Yeah, we got Mississippi Valley State. Yeah, we got Alcorn. What are you teaching? You trying to teach black children to be white children? To go out here and beg white folks for a fucking job? And if there's any black women out there, they got a problem with what Lumumba's saying, feel free to call in. I'm ready to fight for you. For you, my war is not with black women. My war is with those who oppose us. The Black Man Accountability Organize or Die Summit. That's what we about to have, Brother Captain. We about to have a Black Man Accountability Organize or Die Summit. What was the purpose of COINTELPRO? Just to show you how on time we are. COINTELPRO's main objective was to stop the rise of a black messiah. To stop the rise of a black messiah. What did that mean? That means stop any black man or woman who can galvanize black people to an organized functionality that were not governed by white supremacists. See, white supremacists want you out here out of order, chaos, order out of chaos. Don't know if you're going or coming, scrambling, trying to get a goddamn dollar. See? So J. Edgar Hoover was under the, he was under the agenda to make sure that there's no black organized effort. What did I say we about to do? We about to call a black man accountability, organize or die. Because the white man understands, and when I say the white man, I mean the system of white supremacy, understand that in order for black people to survive America, they're going to have to organize themselves. They're going to have to organize themselves. Any effort to organize functionality of America. The slaves cannot organize. What did Pharaoh say when he looked among the children of Israel? It's nothing but a metaphor. That's all it is. That never happened in history. I'm sorry, Bible people. There's no real, actual artifact called Noah's Ark. Okay? That's not true history. And so these are metaphoric stories. They symbolize to have great lessons. But when Pharaoh looked on the children of evil, he said, look at them. Look at them, a wise man. He said, we give them straw, and they turn it to brick. What manner of people is this? He said, come, let us deal wisely with them. Let's say organize and join on to an enemy of ours and come against us. He said, come, let us deal wisely with them. Organize. Organize. Join on to an enemy of ours and come against us. See, but it's talking about nothing, do you? You don't think we talking about nothing? Yeah, we talking about the most detrimental thing to America, the organization of black people. So what are we doing to the brothers that called in with all the knowledge? I hear you, brother. But what are we doing? It was Amos Wilson, brother. They said, a people are not known for what they know. They not remembered for what they know. A people remember for what they build. See? They remember for what they build. Spirit can see how much you knew. Thank you, ancestors. So what do we do? We grow our own food, bro. We grow our own food. In order to survive the system of capitalism, we have to start doing some shit that we control. We control a food source. We're working on control over water source. We got our own school. It's little. It could be greater if y'all commit to something real. All things we ask for is $1 a day. That's all we ask for. It's $365 a year to help us build, not talk, help us build a reality that our children can see. I keep telling y'all, your children are born into the reality of white supremacy. So it don't matter how much we talk, when they walk out into a world where white folk control everything, what matters how much you talk? What matters how much you talk? See, when are we going to develop the moral character that Shabaka was talking about to stand up for our own humanity? It amazes me how I can sit here for 1 hour and 30 minutes in a room by myself talking to people I can't even see. But when I think about my commitment to my people, I cherish every moment speaking to you because I know what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to do what I say. And I'm looking for some men that's willing to join on. I'm not your leader. Y'all don't like leaders. Hell, I don't think I even want to be your leader. You let leaders get killed. And you don't do shit about it. But I am a servant. I'm going to do they will, and they do. I ain't no follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know. That blood don't run through my veins. I'm sorry. It don't run through yours. You the one just tricked. You just tricked. That's it. And you suffer cognitive dissonance. Whenever I say that, you suffer cognitive dissonance. Jesus Christ's blood don't run through your veins. You've been tricked. The blood of your ancestors run through your veins. Answer their call. You answer their call. Those are my leaders. So I don't know what y'all consider me. I'm making a call. How much more time we have? It's the last part of a trilogy. How do we survive America? Let's close this deal. How much more time do we have? Somebody give me how much time we have left. How long?
22 minutes.
3 minutes? I didn't get that, but it sound like 20 minutes. Okay,
yes,
20 minutes. You know what can be done? Thank you, thank that Sister Angela. Thank you, Sister Angela. Y'all know what can be done in 20 minutes? A lot of things happen in 20 minutes. Look what happened in 9 minutes. Derrick Chauvin stayed on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes and killed him before the world. It happened in 9 minutes. What can we do in 20 minutes? What can we do of consequence in these last 20 minutes of this three-part trilogy? How to Survive America. Let's close the deal tonight. We should have a call. We should have a call. I want to hear from somebody. I want to hear from somebody. If it be no calls, I proceed forward. We do the things that people just talk about. We need to grow our own food. We need our own schools. Okay. We've been saying it ever since we considered ourselves a conscious community. Where the schools at? Where the food at? Townships at? We developing townships here in Mississippi. We have more black townships in Mississippi than any other state in the United States of America. That's a fact. We have more black townships in Mississippi than any other state in the United States of America. California and Texas. Texas five times bigger than Mississippi. California three times bigger than Mississippi. They don't have more black townships than Mississippi. What is a black township? Black. Okay, we got a caller on. Can you? I can't hardly hear you, but let the caller go ahead.
Okay, caller 4751. Line is open.
Hey, Brother Patrick. It's Sister Crystal. How you doing?
Hey, Sister Crystal. I'm well, dear. How are you?
I'm great. And, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to the call and I'm hearing some great words spoken, some wise words spoken, some challenges being made, really. What are we going to do? And so I just wanted to, you know, leave a little bit with the listeners because we always want to know what do we do, how do we get started, what do we, how do we respond? And I always have to lead and inform us that we have to build. You said it. I think you said it a few times about building, you know, and because I didn't really come into the knowledge itself until I was an adult and my children were
right.
In the physical realm. And I think one of the reasons why we always will stay behind is because all of us are getting this knowledge at different ages and stages in our life. And that's why what we're doing with I Say Academy is so important, because our children had to be born into this. They had to be born into the reality of who they are and what they can do, because right now they're born into the reality of white supremacy and what it can do.
That's right.
And so we can't compete with it by homeschooling. We can't compete with it by getting it here and there and any other where. You know, we had to start building our own institutions. You know, I said once before, when we build, we start healing, because we'll know what our children are supposed to be getting by the time they're 18, what they should know, what they should be ready to get out there and do. Hell, if we do it ourselves, they'll probably be ready before the age of 18. So, you know, it's just important that we build and maintain our own institutions, assess what we need, create our own standards, and teach according to those standards. And we'll see a lot of our problems being solved. All the petty issues that brother was talking about before, because that's what he was basically saying. We got a lot of petty issues. All that will be solved when we begin to take control of our own, to find for ourselves and do for ourselves. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Sister Crystal. And as always, you always impart great insight and information as it pertains to our people. And let me just, you can go ahead and hang up, Sister Crystal. I appreciate you calling in. You bring a lot of clarity. Because what Sister Crystal is saying is very relevant. What she's saying is that we are ascertaining knowledge at different times. We come into the knowledge of self and the awareness of, you know, our religious indoctrinations and our political follies and all these different things at different times. And what that do, that poses a conflict for us, because white supremacy is a synchronized operation. Okay? What do you mean, Lumumba? Well, look at the educational system. Just to show you, Tane, what I'm trying to convey. White supremacy indoctrinates you at the same time. I know for sure in the white supremacy system that we all learn our ABCs at a certain time. Am I right? We all learn our ABCs at a certain time. And if you've seen a child that was 5 years old and didn't know his ABCs, his or her ABCs, what would you say? Well, why he didn't know his ABCs? That's what you would say. Because white supremacy has determined that it's certain things that you should be knowing and indoctrinated with at a certain time in their society. Why don't we know who we are at the same time? See? Why don't we know critical things that we should know at the same time? You know why we don't? Because we have not taken the initiative to build a system of education that requires us knowing certain things at certain times in our development. See, we rely on YouTube. And who's to say when you're going to stroll on YouTube and find out some shit you didn't know? You see, you ain't built an institution and a process and a system determined that you know certain things at certain times. Why our children don't know about real estate? Why our children don't know about the agriculture and all these different things? Why we don't? You see, because we have not made the determination that we would define for ourselves our own reality. That requires us building schools. That requires us restructuring our religious commitment, if we have any. To me, religion for fools. Unless you got a religion that promotes the progression of you practicing a foolish religion. So that's what she's saying. And Sister Crystal is the Secretary of Information and Education of the Black Liberation Center. I mean, the Black Liberation Movement. She is the one who built the library. She is the one that go through the content of the books to make sure that we not letting books like now, children's books coming in there with homosexuality already in them. She makes sure that our children don't pick up books that promote this deviated lifestyle. You see? So we are building something serious here. I'm not saying that ain't nobody else doing it, but I don't know. I don't know. If somebody else is doing it, y'all let me know so that we can connect with them. Dr. Murphy said, we not as divided as we are disconnected. We're not as divided as we are disconnected. So, Chris, for calling in and giving that insight. There were some more people that I was hoping would call in that I wanted to hear from, and we do have a little bit more time, so I'm not going to give up on that, them calling in. But I want to go on, and I want to share this this story lesson that was taught to me by an elder. And it gives great perspective on our condition as black people. The story goes like this. There was an old Indian chief, three grandsons. And the grandsons approached him one day. And they said, "Grandfather, grandfather, we want to go to white man's school and obtain education." The grandfather said, "Huh, you want to go white man's school?"
and learn. They said, yeah, we want to go to white man's school and obtain an education. So the grandfather did not deny them of what they felt was an opportunity. So he financed his grandson's going to white man's school. So after the appointed period of time, these young men had obtained the education that they pursued in the white man's school. They returned to their grandfather, unfortunately, on his deathbed. But they were able to tell them, and they were happy to tell him. They said, "Grandfather, grandfather, we got our education from white man." And grandfather said, "Huh?" He said, "So what did you become?" And he gestured to the first grandson. The first grandson said, "I became a marine biologist." He said, "Hmm." He gestured to the second grandson. He said, "What did you become?" He said, "I became a computer programmer." The Indian chief, in a weak voice, said, "Hmm." So he gestured to the third grandson. He said, "And what did you become?" He said, "I became a civil engineer." The grandfather said, he said, "Now which one of you can grow an ear of corn?" And they looked at each other, dumbfounded. And once the point registered, the grandfather said in his weak voice, he said, "So our people will perish." He said, "So our people perish." See, in all your knowledge and wisdom that you have obtained from your oppressor, we have failed to do the fundamental things for our own survival. We have taken on, Dre Ship, thank you for calling in, the mentality of rugged individualism. Selfish. Don't nobody want to be black. We don't want to be unified. We don't want to save our race. We want to save ourselves. We want to immerse ourselves into the reality of white supremacy. We want a comfortable place in white supremacy. That's what we want. And we have settled for that. That's what we had today, brothers and sisters. So this podcast is our trilogy on how to survive America. This podcast is our trilogy, but it does not end our work. We started this podcast because I felt that we didn't have a clear black perspective. We didn't have one clear black perspective coming across the social media airwaves. Those people that we listen to, Brother Eric Lau, the Young Pharaohs, and the Settings, and the Polites, and all these people, where they at now? What's their relevance now? We still going. Liberation movement is still going. Join us. Help us. What's your skill set? What can you do to be a part of a functionality that suggests that we are alive and we are determined to carve out a future for our children? What are you going to do? There'll be no more callers. We can go ahead on and end this session. Brother Captain Maurice Muhammad, you have anything, you can come now.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Commander. We do got, I think we got one more a repeat caller that is on. If you wanted to go to that caller before we end. Did you want to take that last caller?
Let's go to that caller, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Pat? This is Eric, man. I was just calling back in after I heard Queen Smith for Crystal speak.
Yeah.
I just kind of wanted to piggyback on something she said and kind of get your response to something else. So basically,
okay.
With the whole thing, obviously that's major, starting with the kid. Like, you know, you kind of hit a point that I was going to make as far as, you know, the system, they get a hold of them early. So we can't be waiting until we 18, 19, 20, 30. To come to the information, because obviously it's going to be harder to retain that information or for that information to soak up if you already been being drilled with white supremacy. But I just wanted to know what you thought about, and you know, this ain't to bring light to no other organization or nothing like that, but just, you know, in speaking about what we're talking about, you know, what we going to do, you know. So I wanted to get your opinion about, first of all, Dr. Umar and what he got going on with building the school. I want to know your thoughts on that. And I want to know your thoughts on IFAC, the NFAC, because when they first came out, you know, I thought they was going to end up being something other than what they ended up being. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on both of those subjects.
All right, let me take Brother Umar first. Brother Umar, who is my brother? When Brother Umar first hit the scene, I was mightily impressed with Brother Umar, my brother. The brother is very intelligent. I have actually used a lot of the things that he has put out there, used them, not just took them for knowledge, but actually used them in the school system when I would have parents here in the area of Tate County that had disciplinary hearing for their children. Well, they children have been deemed, you know, some type of a problem or whatever, you know, in the system. I have taken information from his book, The Psycho-Academic War Against Young Black Boys, and used that to alleviate some situations in the school system here. So Brother Umar is very effective in his teaching. When Brother Umar first hit the scene, Brother Eric, I implored that we take a portion of our funds that were coming in to the Black Liberation Movement, which was not many. And I implored that we donate those funds to the brothers who were building the Frederick Douglass Market Garden School for Young Black Boys. Well, that was 7 years ago. And that school has yet to come to fruition. And that's the only thing that I have, say, diametric to our brothers, is that he need to get that goddamn school up and going. I mean, I look at what we do with the Oscar Academy, brother, and we put that together with planks and nails, okay? We put that together with planks and nails. So I don't know how elaborate he wants his school to be, but we got to start, brother. You know, we got to start. And he had to, I don't give a damn if it's one classroom. He got to start so that he can show us a product of scholarship, because I remember what the brother was saying, because I studied the same thing he studied. I was a psychology major, and the brother said that he was the 1% of the 1% of clinical psychology, meaning that he seen and observed the black condition. Now, I will say this. Umar learned from people that most people didn't know about. And he used the advent of social media into society to push some things out there that we didn't know. See, the whole idea of intellectual masturbation, that's a term that came from Amos Wilson. The pipeline to prison was being explained by Michael Porter, who was a professor over at Savannah State in Georgia. He was already talking about the pipeline to prison in his book, Kill Them Before They Grow. Well, he was talking about the whole educational system and how it was designed to diametrically oppose our children and set our young boys in jail bait by the third grade. So Umar parlayed that into his celebrity. So I love Dr. Umar. You know, every time he come here, I try to make sure that we make contact and, you know, keep pushing what he's doing. I just want the brother to go ahead on and get his school started. It don't have to be
perfect. It just has to start. It just has to start.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as damn Master J or whatever the brother called himself, and he's not fucking around shit that he had going on. I had some brothers that defected from the Black Liberation Movement to join this brother in his farce. In his farce. Okay? You ain't respond to shit. You ain't killed nobody up in Minnesota. Okay? They still killing here. You ain't did that. So, you know, I just think, you know, some shit like this right here be a distraction. These people that pop up from nowhere, we got to be leery of that. You know, check my track record. See how long it been that I've been out here on this battlefield. You know, in the fight that I fought. And I'm not. I'm just using myself as an example because I know I can. I'm no celebrity. Mm-hmm. I don't get the social media attention that these brothers get. So how did these brothers manufacture all this attention and get your attention like that? You know, they just jump up on the scene and they just pop up doing shit, you know. And I think a lot of that is distraction. We building something real here in Mississippi, Eric, and you are part of that, bro. So I'm not lying to you. You know, I'm the first one to take the fall. If anybody going to take it, it's going to be me. So that's what I'm saying. You lead by example, not no goddamn words. You lead by example. So that's what you're a part of, brother. So, you know, whatever the brother's doing. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, man, that's very important to me because, you know, when I listen to Umar, I like what he got to say. You know, he seemed to be a strong brother. I watched his latest interview on The Breakfast Club, and I kind of just had the same little feeling, I guess, as far as with the school or whatever, you know, just kind of questioning that particular aspect of him. But, you know, I never discarded the brother. I never, you know, threw him off just because of what I heard people saying as far as about him stealing the money for the school and all of that type of stuff. I still maintain much respect for the brother.
They preach to steal money. Every goddamn
right.
You get what I'm saying? So, I don't mean to cut you off, brother, but let's say this. Let's not strain a neck and swallow a camel. See, we want to look for reasons not to hear brothers like Umar. Yeah, he got a degree of arrogance to him. Yeah, he got an ego to him. But he's got a lot of knowledge and information that we need. I know this because I truly utilize it. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, brother, I love Dr. Umar, you know, for what he
and my main thing, I mean, cut you off, but my main thing is just that he ain't scared, bro. And that's one of my main things in my heart that connect me to people. Like, I hate fear. I can't stand nobody that's scared, especially when it comes to doing what we got to do to liberate our people. And so with Infant, you know how they came out in formation with the guns and all of that. You know, my eyes kind of lit up like, oh, shit, hold up. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody finally getting with the shit with these motherfuckers. And that's what my heart is, you know, so... However far I gotta go, that's where my heart is with this shit, man. So I appreciate your willingness to step up and rise up and make a call to other brothers to do the same thing. Like you said, we gotta reach down into ourselves.
Yes,
that was kind of the point I was making before. It started with ourselves. We gotta find God nature within ourselves to want to do better and to find that piece of us that allow us to stop being scared, man. That's all. That's all I got to say on this.
Well, brother, you are inspiration to me, brother. And I want to see you soon, brother. You know what I'm saying? I want to see you soon, man. Get your family together and see if you can't make it down here this Sunday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, thank you, brother Eric, brother. Love you, brother.
All right, peace out, love.
Brother Captain.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I don't think we have too much time. If we have any more callers?
No, sir. That was it.
Okay, go ahead on close us out, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Commander. As we always say, this is an excellent program. You kill the nigga in you, and I'm going to kill the nigga in me, and our God will reign supreme. We are Black First, today, tomorrow, and forever. And as we always do, when we whoop enough ass, everybody going to get in line and do right. Peace and blessings. I feel like Shalom. Yes, sir.
Yay, Bo.
Yay, Bo.